This is CliffCentral.com. Animal Central on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning and welcome to Animal Central on CliffCentral.com. This is the only show in South Africa dedicated to animals and the people that love them. I'm your host, Ainsley Hay. I'm back after a little break last week. So I'm very excited about the guests that we have in studio today. It's two real powerhouses when we come to speaking about rehabilitating dogs and giving our very misunderstood dogs who've had a bit of a rough time at life a second chance. So, you know, I admire these people quite greatly. So we have the internationally renowned UK dog trainer, Nando Brown, in studio. Hello and welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. And then we've got Tracy McQuarrie from Dogtown in as well.
Hey.
Hello. So I am, you know, I'm obviously, we're all very passionate about dogs and we all love dogs. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. But you guys really are sort of on the forefront working with, you know, some people would say problem dogs. Do you have another term that you prefer using?
Misunderstood.
Yeah, that's a much better one. So, Tracy, just give us a quick rundown about Dogtown, because obviously that is a South African-based organization, whereas Nando, you are based in Spain.
I'm based in Spain at the moment, but okay. I am on my way to the UK. I'm going to come back to the rain, unfortunately.
Oh, why?
I know.
No, you're mad. I did 4 years of blighty winters, and that was enough for me, eh? But you're going back for more punishment.
I'm going back for more punishment.
Okay. Tracy, Dogtown?
Dogtown is a rehabilitation center and sanctuary for misunderstood dogs. Okay. So most of the dogs in our center come from other rescue centers where they're struggling to home them because either they have a behavior or a medical issue. So we take those dogs under our wings.
Wow.
All our staff are trained and qualified in dog training and behavior.
Oh, wow.
So the majority of our day is spent, you know, making sure the dogs are getting enrichment emotionally, physically, and mentally.
Sure, that's amazing. And how many dogs have you got in your care?
142.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's.
And we have a waiting list of about 10.
Really?
It never goes down, unfortunately.
And how many rehomes do you do?
We do roughly 10 a month.
Okay.
You know,
because that's, I mean, geez, that's a pretty difficult niche of homes that you're trying to find, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, most rescue centers that have happy-go-lucky dogs are struggling to find homes for their dogs.
Exactly.
So we've got the little more challenging dogs. So we have a lot of work on our hands to make them happy and adoptable.
Yeah, no, and it's, I mean, it's very admirable that you are doing that work because I think, unfortunately, in South Africa, the sheer number of unwanted animals that we have generally means that majority of the welfare organizations cannot afford to put individual care time and attention into your special needs dogs, per se.
It was the main drive behind us starting Dogtown. I mean, originally it was just going to be Barking Mad, which was the network for all the rescue centers to, you know, let the public know about their events and what dogs they have for homes. Mm-hmm. And then we just saw, you know, the dogs that aren't homeable are generally just being left bored out of their skull in the
and the situations generally are just exacerbating behavioural issues that they have. So it's,
I blame the TV show Dogtown, which is Best Friends Animal Sanctuary.
Okay.
That's what sent me on this whole
crazy
trip.
Ah, so you're blaming Nando?
No.
It's got nothing to do with me.
He can be blamed for the next 10 years.
Okay. Going forward then. Oh dear. So Tracy, you have brought Nando out to South Africa, right?
Yeah. A little bit selfishly because I wanted our caregivers to learn from one of the best trainers in the world to help them work with rehabilitation with our dogs. And also I wanted, you know, people don't bring dog trainers out to our country.
They don't.
And, you know, a lot of our dogs are needing this kind of guidance. So the workshops are generally to generate funds for Dogtown because we're still trying to build our new center. We're only halfway through it at the moment.
Okay.
So one was to raise funds for Dogtown, but two was to have an opportunity for people to come and experience, you know, these incredible workshops, which are unbelievable. Last weekend we had two, and everybody that attended was blown away.
Wow.
And I've done nothing but sing Nando's
That's
praises.
Amazing. Sure,
Nando. Even in the heat, he kept us all motivated and excited.
Wow.
Even the dogs.
Oh, that's amazing. So, Nando, sure, you've got some serious qualifications and experience going on here. I'm just going to read a few of them. You're an ex-Marine.
I'm an ex-Marine.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. How long ago did you get out?
Wow. 2002.
Okay.
2002 I left, yeah.
Sure. So you're now a head trainer for Doghouse, a certified pet dog trainer, a clicker trainer, a trick dog instructor, a nose work instructor, security dog handler, assessor for the Institute of Modern Dog Trainers, and also committee member of the Pet Professional Guild.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
So I bow down to the greatness. So yeah. tell me about how did your career, and you know, I imagine you've had a love for dogs since an early age, but how
believe
did you
it
end
or not, I wasn't a massive doggy person.
Really?
Loads of people kind of have this infatuation from a young age, and I didn't
yeah.
have that.
Okay.
I had dogs in the house, but they were just dogs in the house.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be a Royal Marine Commando for the rest
wow.
of my life. So I joined up, did that, and actually.
Yeah.
I was like, this
nah.
isn't for me. so I did 6 years, and
wow.
when I left, I got myself a dog.
Okay.
But I made every mistake you could possibly
really?
Make. Yeah, literally
wow.
every mistake. I got the wrong dog,
okay.
went to the wrong breeder, got the wrong
wow.
puppy out of the litter, I didn't train it the right way,
wow.
I didn't socialise it, and just every mistake.
Yeah.
And then it became my passion to stop people making the same mistake.
That is amazing, because
yeah.
flip, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it is... me as a veterinary nurse, it used to kill a little bit of my soul every time, just in practice, when I had an owner come in with their dog, and you could just see how horrendous life was for that owner and that dog, just because of the simple things that they haven't done. So it's so important.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
yeah.
work that you're doing.
Totally. It's about the research as well, and finding
yeah.
out, getting, you know, really understanding dogs before you decide to take
yeah.
them on board, because when you get a dog, you just presume it's going to sleep by the fire 23
yeah.
hours a day.
Be a cute little fluffy
up.
Puppy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pose for pictures and then,
exactly.
you know, eat its dinner and go back to sleep. And
yeah.
it doesn't work like that.
No, not at all.
No, it really doesn't work like that. So for me, it started out training owners to make sure that
wow.
they got those tools.
Okay.
But now my main job is training the dog trainers.
Okay.
So that they are big.
So you can spread the knowledge.
Yeah, totally.
That's absolutely amazing. So you say you're currently based in Spain, but now you...
I'm literally on
the
verge
doing
the
hop
of
over.
Moving to the UK.
Wow.
So like I'm packing my stuff up and then came here. And
okay.
then when I go back, I'm in Spain for like
so
2 days.
So you're multitasking?
Oh, well, I wasn't...
Trying.
I'm trying. I don't know if I'm succeeding or not.
No, that's amazing. And so some of the courses, that the seminars that you're running here in South Africa, tell our listeners a bit about them.
So we've got, coming up, we've got aggression and rehabilitation.
Okay.
Okay, and that is to learn some new skills with that you can use to make your dog less aggressive.
Yes.
Okay. And then we've also got Steve Mann, who's a colleague of mine,
okay,
and a very good friend, and he's coming out to do body language.
Oh wow!
And I think body language is so
yeah.
important, because it's all training is about communication.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a lot of the dog training in this world is based on us telling the dog,
yep.
when actually they're communicating back.
We just don't know how to listen.
That's exactly
yeah.
right. And
yeah.
if we just open our ear rolls, we'll
yeah.
be able to. You open this line of two-way communication,
yeah.
and it just. It's just phenomenal. It's
amazing.
Just such more important. It's
yeah.
so it's one of the most important skills that you can have when you own a dog.
Yeah.
And then after that, we've got grumpy dogs.
Oh.
And grumpy dogs, again, is if you actually have a dog
okay.
that is reactive,
yes.
we talk you through why they might be reactive and the things that you can do to put in place which will actually make them more comfortable and after
that's
that, less
brilliant.
Reactive.
That's absolutely amazing. Listeners, please... so I'm just going to give the details of who to contact to attend these seminars. I think this is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know, so South Africans, we don't get exposure like this, I think. And can I just say, just because you watch something on Animal Planet doesn't make it legitimate. Thank you. Just, I can't even watch Animal Planet anymore. Literally, because my blood pressure goes through the roof. Just because someone has a TV camera in their face doesn't mean they're professional and doesn't mean that they know what they're doing. So please, this is a real, actual once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get some proper advice and training on dog training. So please, contact Tracy. I'm just going to give out her details. So the email is tracy@dogtownsa.org.
Yeah.
Is there a number in case they want to actually speak to you?
They can contact the Dogtown number.
Perfect.
Which is 076-044-1979.
Perfect. And I'll give out those details again later. But I think this is so important because I will put money on the table. Every single South African knows someone with a dog that has either aggression problems or a grumpy dog problem. Or even if you're interested in just dogs. I mean, gosh, I think I'm going to come and tag along now because this is just amazing, amazing topics that are going to be covered. And then you can also get hold of us on the show. You can get hold of us. The number is 0861 555 189. Our Twitter is at cliffcentral.com. Facebook is Cliff Central. WeChat ID is Cliff Central. And on WeChat, to send us a message, you tap connect and then message to show. So, Nando, how long have you been here in South Africa for now?
We've just done over a week now.
Okay.
I've got another couple of weeks left.
Oh, brilliant. And have you managed, what is your general impression from the dogs and the owners and that that you've encountered so far? Obviously, you're seeing a hand-selected portion because it's people who actively are seeking help.
That's it. In my job, the people that come to the seminars are the people that care the most about their dogs. So the guys that I've seen have been fantastic. They've been really, really good. But I get the impression that you guys are along the same lines as Spain. And Spain has got a big stray dog problem. And they've got a problem where their dogs are not necessarily walked as much as they should be, and they're not getting the mental stimulation that they need. But this isn't just a South Africa problem. This is a worldwide problem. Yeah.
Okay. No, it's because so from my side, I as I said, I lived in London and England for 4 years, so I got to see the British way of dog ownership, and then obviously the South African way, and they're two different. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have, and Tracy, you can definitely comment on that as well, is so we've got a weird combination here of having to use dogs as security.
Yeah.
And I think we've got it's definitely changing now, but we've historically had quite a poor pet family integration with dogs, I think.
I mean, even like some of the training tools that, you know, I've learnt about from, you know, going onto the internet and seeing how you can help stimulate dogs in a shelter environment. We never used to have all those tools. You know, I'd have to import products to try and help our dogs have a better stay or makeshift our own versions. But those stuff are starting to become readily available in the shops, which to me means there's a demand for it. So people are thinking, you know, about simple things like not just putting a bowl of food down for the dog, but giving them a brain toy or exercise and train with them with their food. I think we're going in the right direction. It's just really slow. I think one of our biggest problems we have is that people are not taking an animal into their care and committing to that animal for its life. You know, you can't just change it like last year's handbag kind of thing. You know, it's a living being. You've got to invest in the animal. You know, you get in, you get out what you put in. So, you know, you're building a relationship. You know, if you marry someone, you don't just go in there and just not do anything. You work with each other and you build that relationship.
Nowadays, I don't know.
Mind you, that's also not classified as a lifetime commitment anymore either. Yeah, true.
Exactly.
So it's just people, we just live in such a fast-moving environment now that people want quick fixes. They don't want to put the work in. I mean, it's nuts. If you had a child, you know, you have to teach your child how you want it to behave. This is an animal that doesn't speak our language. Of course, you've got to put in the work and teach them.
Exactly. No, but I think, so even things like in South Africa, it's new. I think there's definitely pros and cons to it, but like Offaly dog parks, we have these now, and we have, say, even pet-friendly markets or pet-friendly restaurants, whereas, you know, I know in England that's been going for ages, because in England I was always fascinated, you know, pets there, and I am generalizing, but they literally, they're part of your family. They are an integral part. I used to work night shifts. And I always used to swear quite a lot. 4 o'clock in the morning, on a winter's morning, it's bitterly, bitterly cold outside. I get a phone call. Hello, I'm just taking my Lurcher for a run down the park, and he's got his paw. What are you doing out with your dog at 4 o'clock in the morning? But this is what they do, because especially London, you live in very small apartments, and people have dogs. They have big dogs, but they exercise them. They exercise them more than a lot of dogs here.
I find that people do live in that apartment kind of environment, they commit to taking their dog out, you know, whereas here where the people with, especially if they've got bigger gardens and bigger properties, they presume their dog doesn't need to get out. But, you know, it's like you being stuck in your bedroom all day. You know, it's great for a bit, but then, you know, you're sick of seeing the same wall all the time.
But now, just tell us some of the most, you know, tell us about exercise and dogs and their requirements and the benefits of it. And
well, the first thing you've got to do is work out which dog that you actually want, because they're different animals, really. You start with like a Shih Tzu. They still need exercise, but they're not going to need the exercise that a German Shepherd or a Border Collie is going to need. And a lot of us kind of think, well, you know what, I'm gonna get an active dog because I'm an active type of person. But actually, it doesn't work like that, because just running with the dog is not the physical exercise that they need. Okay. You need to give them more stimulation. Okay. Than that. A lot of people make their dogs adrenaline junkies just by constantly throwing a ball.
Oh, okay.
And although that's a great thing that people are going out and throwing balls for their dogs, they need to explore new avenues. Things like teaching a dog to search for their ball will make their dog so much more tired than just running the dog for an hour.
I'd actually never thought of that.
Yeah, it's so important. Well, the nose is such an integral part of the dog's body that it's underutilized. We just do not focus on it enough. Yeah. Dog trainers as well as normal dog owners. We need to really focus on that dog's nose, because 15 minutes of nose work will make your dog more tired than an hour's run at the park.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I didn't actually know that.
So important. So important.
Wow.
That's the majority of what we're doing all day at Dogtown is trying to give more outlets for the dogs to have, not just, you know, taking the dog for a walk, doing other stuff. And this week we've been doing a lot of nose work exercises with Nando, and we've seen, you know, where we think the dogs love food as a reward, that how much they enjoy looking for their toy, much more. And, I mean, dogs that are really high energy, which we have a lot of, you know, they're like popping, like 15 minutes.
That's fantastic.
They are so tired. Mentally, the stimulation they're getting mentally is actually much more tiring for them than the physical.
That is amazing.
So, the thing is if you go running with a Shih Tzu, it's going to do a mile and it's going to be knackered. Okay? But if you go running with a Border Collie,
it's not going to touch that.
Right, it's not. And after a week, the dog's going to need more exercise. Yep. And all you're doing is building an athlete.
Yeah, true.
Okay? And then they need more and more and more. It's just like if you go to the gym and you just constantly go to the gym.
Yeah.
Next time, you need to go a little bit longer. That's fascinating. You need to go a little longer. And people do this accidentally and end up with these athletes, but they want a couch potato.
Yeah.
So you really need to kind of stimulate the brain, not just the physical body.
That's absolutely amazing. So now this whole, what do you call it, nose work?
Nose work, yeah.
That's something new that I've never even heard of.
Right. So nose work breaks off into so many different branches. You can do fun scent games, which is just feeding your dog but in a different manner. Okay. So instead of feeding the dog in a bowl, you just take that bowl out into the garden and throw their food across the lawn. And the dog has to search for their food.
Oh.
So instead of wolfing it down in 34 seconds, it takes them half an hour. But that half an hour of sniffing out the food makes them knackered.
Amazing.
Okay, so that's the first thing. Then you can do things like search and rescue.
Okay.
You can do scent detection. Mm. There's so many different things that you can do with your dogs, but it just... The power of it is just it's misunderstood massively.
That's
driving
amazing.
Mad. I wish people would see more of it.
Yeah, and I imagine you'd get quite a quick response with the dogs, to see how much better, how much benefit they're getting from this type of
enormous
work.
Enormous. The thing is the dog's nose is so powerful. I need to put that into context. So your nose has 5 million scent receptors in it.
Okay.
Okay? And that allows you to distinguish different smells as you walk into a room.
Okay.
A German Shepherd has 225 million.
Really?
Okay? So when you walk in and go, oh, I can smell lasagna, the German Shepherd comes in and goes, I can smell meat and pasta and tomato sauce and deodorant and lipstick and hairspray and skin cells and what mum ate yesterday, and it just goes on and on, and they can dissect each part. But there's things like when you're at home and the dog starts kicking off and starts barking at stuff, and you go out and you go, there's nothing there. It's probably smelt something you're not even aware of.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, you didn't think about that.
So powerful.
Sure, this is out. I'm learning a whole lot. So I hope our listeners are also listening with open ears. So I like the idea of giving. So obviously, all of our listeners must come to these seminars as first prize. That's the first thing. But second prize, what are some, so you've given us the example of scattering the food outside. Can you give us some other things at home that people could do to help their dogs a bit with this nose work?
Do you know, it's not just nose work itself, but there are things that you can do just to make your relationship with your dog better. Okay. And the one thing that we do is we're kind of hardwired to punish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, humans are hardwired to punish. If you drive too fast, you get a speeding ticket. Mm-hmm. If you park in the wrong place, you get a parking ticket. Mm-hmm. If you break the law, you go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but nobody comes up to you and gives you 20 rand for driving at the right speed.
Yeah.
Nobody comes up to you and gives you 50 rand for parking in the right place.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is a key shift that you need to do with your dog. So instead of just saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, you need to go, don't do that, do this instead.
Oh.
All right? And this is the fundamental thing that's really important. If you want your dog to be more relaxed and you want them to be chilled, then the key thing is when you see them doing it, reward them for it.
Ah.
Okay? Reward the behaviors that you like, because that behavior will increase, even if it's sleeping. So if your dog is lying on the bed, okay, on its dog's bed, and you walk over and just drop a little piece of chicken in front of him, he'll go, bloody hell, what was that for?
It's raining chicken.
Okay, this is amazing. And over the course of a period of weeks, the dog will start going, do you know what, every time I'm on that bed, something good happens. So he'll start to go to that bed more often. Because the key concept to all dog behaviour is dogs do what works.
Wow.
It's that simple. Dogs do what works. Just like me and you. We're just trying to do things that we're trying to start the good times and finish the bad times. Dogs are doing exactly the same thing, except for we get to pay our dogs in cheese and chicken.
Mm.
I wish I could pay my staff in cheese and chicken. you give a dog a piece of chicken and he thinks he's got 500 rand.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's fantastic. And that's such a, I think that's such an important mind shift, as you say, because I think it also so much of the historical dog training, it's very dominance and negative and all of that. And whilst I do strongly believe that the boundaries are very important with pet ownership, just to make things easy. I mean, like, as I said, at veterinary practices, if a dog has to be literally held down by five people just to have a vaccination, you're not doing pet ownership very right.
Well, this is the thing, but you could, it doesn't even have to be held.
Mm.
So dogs are capable of being part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to the vet, I hold my hand out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't say anything to the dog. Dog's off lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and she checks out the room.
Mm-hmm.
She has a little sniff about, and then she comes over, and I have my hand still. And when she's ready, she puts her nose on my hand.
Oh.
Okay, and she keeps it there. Now,
wow.
The vet comes up, prepares the injection, lifts her skin.
Yeah.
And if at any point my dog feels uncomfortable, she takes her nose off my hand, and that's her way to say, right, stop, I need a break.
Wow.
And we stop, the vet stops, okay, and then she takes maybe 10, 15 seconds, she puts her nose back on,
that
and she says, right, let's go. And then the vet actually administers the injection.
Yeah.
Nobody's holding her, and the dog has actually got the choice to be involved in the process.
That is unbelievable.
Now, that's advanced training.
Yeah.
We're not expecting that from everybody's pet dog. But they're
capable of doing it.
They're totally capable of it. And we don't give them credit for it.
Wow.
They're so much smarter than we give them the credit for.
My mind is like,
that's why you have to come to these workshops.
No, seriously, this is okay. I need to take a break because I need to process some of this. My brain is going like a dog's nose that's just been given some stimulation. So we're going to take a quick music break, and we will be back later with more of this amazing topic.
This is CliffCentral.com.
We are back. I've had a bit of a break, and there's literally almost smoke coming out of my ears. Because I was just saying in the break, it's amazing. I mean, I'm a qualified animal person, but this is, and it makes so much sense. But no one's ever, when I studied, which was granted quite a few years ago, this wasn't common thought. I mean, stuff like nose work, and it makes so much sense. I mean, my career path has mainly been working with wild and exotic animals, and with that, quite a lot of them in captivity. And it's been known and practiced for many years about environmental enrichment for captive wildlife, how important it is to stimulate the animals. But I've never put two and two together and said, oh, but dogs need it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the misconceptions that hasn't... I don't know why, but the dog world is almost like the last to know on everything.
No, but you're right.
So a lot of the study that I started out with was on dog behaviour, but now I actually attend different seminars on different animals.
Ah.
So I go to marine mammal training seminars and learn those concepts and then bring them over because they're so important.
Yeah.
They're so important. And, you know, we can all kind of... I can learn so much from vet techs. I can learn so much, but they can also take some stuff from me. But it's getting much, much better. But the dog world is a little bit kind of clicky, and everybody's secret and wants to keep their own information. And I think that's the wrong way to go. We need to just. I put up all of my own training with my own dogs on YouTube and on Facebook.
Okay. And brilliant. And what must people look for?
So if you go onto Facebook and search Incredimal,
okay,
there's
how do you spell
a page, INCREDIMAL.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
And it says Nando Brown and Fizz after that. Okay. And Fizz is my Malinois. She's a Belgian Shepherd. And I put up all of my training, all of my good stuff, but all my mistakes well, because nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. So I put all of that stuff up, and people... are starting to take bits of information from it and realise actually there's dogs are so much more capable than we give them the credit for. So I think it's really important we share that information. So things like this kind of radio show is perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. We need more of this stuff.
Yeah, well, we need you here more often because I'm just like, I got
you said it. I've already been trying to, the cogs in my brain are going like, how am I getting them back here?
Yeah.
And, the Institute of Modern Dog Training also has a whole behaviorist division which concentrates on specific behavior problems.
Okay.
So we're really hoping that, you know, Joe, who runs that side, can come and help us with things like separation anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorders. I mean,
those are huge
We have a lot of those things because people didn't do the training part, so the dogs found something else that works for them.
Exactly. Oh no, this is absolutely fascinating. So, what are both of your thoughts on? I'm going to be kind. No, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to say some people say that there are certain dogs that are just untrainable. I'm not saying breeds. I'm saying individual dogs with individual histories and everything. Do you think that, or do you believe that every dog is trainable?
I think that there are too many variables to answer that question.
Okay.
Okay? Because there are certain dogs out there that in the right hands would be absolutely fine.
Yeah,
the
true.
Problem is that there aren't enough right hands for the amount of dogs that need those.
Yeah.
Okay, so different dogs, and again, not necessarily breeds, but different dogs are, I relate them to cards.
Yeah.
So you might get your first dog, and really you want something like a Ford Escort.
Yes.
Okay, and one that's been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
So if you go out and get yourself maybe a slightly older Labrador, that would be a great first dog. But if you go out and get yourself a Belgian Shepherd or a Collie as your first dog, that's the equivalent of passing your driving test and buying a Ferrari.
True.
You are going to crash. I don't care who you
that's
are.
Very well put.
You're going to crash.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did when I started. And I just want to make sure that people get the right dog and learn the skills. And there's so many dogs out there, so many Ford Escorts out there that need your help.
Exactly.
So go and get one of them to start with, and then we'll look at.
Please listen
Ferrari.
To this, people. Please, you know it is so important, and it absolutely breaks my bloody heart at how many animals are put down every year, and how many animals
good
sit
animals.
In shelters. Good animals, even myself. So I'm a director of French Bulldog Rescue, and we currently have two dogs in foster care who are looking for homes. One is a French Bulldog that is now 12 weeks old, so he's a puppy. He's gorgeous, Toady, absolutely gorgeous. And 2 weeks ago, I got Lilo, who is an 8-year-old dog that we got from a breeder. She's also absolutely bloody gorgeous. And guess how many applications I've had for Lilo? Not effing one. And I am fed up. I am fed up. People will pass over good dogs just because they're old, or maybe they're not too good with, you know, whatever, or they don't look as cute because they're not a puppy, and I am done with it. You people should be ashamed.
It's, I tell you, don't you forget how hard it is to have a puppy as well.
Exactly.
It's so difficult.
It's
every time I get one,
job.
I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? I should
have got a full-time job.
Totally.
You know, at Dogtown, we're actually quite lucky because we've had some incredible adoptions of 10-year-olds and dogs that have issues. Dogs that have cancer, but they're on treatment, and the families have adopted them. They know they don't have the dog for a long time, but the dog's a bit more calmer, and, you know, we help them carry on the medication because that's obviously a big part of it. But also, when people come to Dogtown to adopt, our adoption application form is quite extensive because we are doing a serious matchmaking.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Same here.
So we ask you questions like, what do you like to do on the weekend? Do you like to sit down, watch a movie? Or do you like to go out hiking and camping? Mm. Because people like always say to us, why are you asking us all this stuff? But it's pretty simple, because if you're a couch potato and you're coming in, you know, and you,
I'm not gonna give you a collie.
People automatically look at a dog and fall in love with how the dog looks.
Exactly.
And you've got to understand, you know, just because the guy's hot doesn't mean he's a nice guy, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I like that. I'm going to use that. That one's stolen.
Yeah, I'm going to take that one too. That is perfect.
That's brilliant.
That is brilliant. No, but it's so true. And then, I mean, these, all these trend dogs. And it's, you know, so when we had 101 Dalmatians, everyone got a Dalmatian. And that's Dalmatians true. Are... Hard work,
high energy dogs.
And yeah, they can go, they tend, correct me if I'm wrong, they tend very frequently to go to the sort of psychotic side of things when their needs are not met. So you get things like chronic stereotypic behaviors, your separation anxiety, all of that. So not only do they have a lot of needs, they also go very wrong.
Yeah, totally.
When they go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
It's bloody dreadful. And then, so that, and then when there was a Mexican thing, then it was all the chihuahuas. little bitey chihuahuas.
Because they're not treated like dogs.
Exactly.
They're treated like
handbag.
Yeah. Handbag items.
I think in America, they're actually, them and the pit mixes are the two
most euthanized dogs. Yep. And the most
because
common ones in
there's
shelter.
There's just so many of them.
Yeah. And you get the wrong type of people going for these dogs, especially the trend dogs. I mean, so with French bulldogs now, people just want them as photo props. They want to take them to the pub. They want to be seen with their French bulldog. They just want to pose with photos with their dogs. And they don't. A lot of the people that, some of the applications, I'm like, do you even realize that this is a dog? I had one guy say to me, oh no, well, the dog's going to go everywhere with me. I'm a property developer, so I walk about 20 kilometers a day and I want a French bulldog. How's that? French bulldogs can't breathe. They're brachycephalic. They're going to overheat.
That in itself has got to be something we need to talk about, surely. Why are we destroying the dogs that we love?
Oh, God, yes.
So, I mean, French bulldogs, they're awesome. I don't think I've ever met one that I don't like.
They're mutants. They shouldn't be alive.
They're so bad.
They shouldn't be alive.
It's so bad. And, you know, worse than that, my country's dog, the English bulldog.
Oh, God, they're even worse.
I'm meant to be proud of that. The dog that can't walk 5 minutes down the road.
Can't breathe, can't breathe, can't do anything.
And I think they have to have cesareans as well. Yeah. They can't have natural birth.
They can't mate naturally. They have to have AI. They can't birth naturally. They can't breathe.
It's nuts.
And I think one of my biggest problems, and I don't know, in South Africa is our kennel union, KUSA. It's an absolute load of bollocks, because they are doing, that was a little shout out to Blighty, they are doing absolutely nothing for the dog's welfare. Not one bloody thing, not one breed standard is there to either improve the health, improve the fecundity, improve anything. It's just to breed what some breeder thinks is the line that it should go. So German Shepherds should no longer look like dogs, they should look like hyenas. French Bulldogs should not be able to breathe, they should all snort, all have stenotic nostrils and long soft palates. I mean,
I'm not actually a fan of breeds.
No.
I think it's because most of the dogs I deal with are more blends.
Yeah.
And I like to say blends because, cousin might have been a German Shepherd or something. So everything we see. And because we don't have any exact proof of what that dog is. So you know, that's another thing. Sometimes you can have a German Shepherd blend that, you know, is a lot calmer than a, you know, a dog that has been bred as a working dog.
Yep.
Well, I'm half English, half Spanish, and we're the best ones.
Exactly.
Blend.
Italian, Scottish. There you go.
Oh, dear God.
I'm South African Scottish.
Yay! Us Scots get everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Sneaky little one.
Right, I'm leaving. See you later.
So I want you to ask us a question here. You mentioned your national dog. He said he asked if South Africa has a national dog.
Oh, well, as far as I'm aware, you guys have got the Boer Bull.
And Afrikaner's Canis.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're trying to make it a legitimate breed, okay. Which is killing me. Because
yeah, you can't.
That dog is the most variation. Awesome village dog. Exactly. And we must just leave it alone.
And the variations, and I mean, so Afrikaner's Canis, so definitely the Boerbul.
Boerbul.
It's a very big mastiff type. They
yeah,
are
enormous.
Gorgeous, but shit, the wrong people get them.
Yeah. Because
same thing. Because, you know, he looks like he's been working out at the gym and he's looking a bit good.
But the funniest, I was nursing in Glasgow, at Glasgow Uni actually, and a Boerbul came in, a stud male dog came in for obviously some hip surgery. And all of the Scottish nurses and the vets were all in a flutter because there was this big beast of a South African dog. And they said, oh, this dog's come here, and these dogs were bred because they were bred to hunt lions. And I was like, excuse me, that is absolute rubbish. The Rhodesian Ridgeback. A Boerbul couldn't hunt a lion if its life depended on it. They are not built for speed or action. I said, Boerbuls are bred to eat things that jump over walls.
Yeah.
That should be in the breed description. Yeah. I love that.
That is a Boerbul's purpose in South Africa.
Fantastic.
Which is another big problem. Like, people think that dogs just are automatically security dogs.
Yep.
I mean, if you get treated like crap, are you going to protect that person that treats you like that?
If that is the wrong way to train a guard dog.
Exactly.
You want the guard dog to have your back.
Exactly.
It needs to be your partner, not something that's scared of you.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Yep.
that's like taking a rifle and pointing at yourself.
Yes.
That's a stupid way to do it.
Oh. And also people say, oh, no, I have guard dogs, but they sleep outside.
No, crazy.
Well, they're not going to protect you if they're outside, are they?
Dogs are outside. People just throw over poison, kill them, and come in. If you want your dog, you know, to feel like it wants to protect you, it has to be part of your family.
You know,
it's like a dad. You know, if somebody comes in and hurts one of his kids, he's going to sort that person out. You need to make that dog feel like it's part of your family. And most of the time, you don't even need to train it to
it's
do
natural.
That. It would be a natural thing. You're coming in, you're going to hurt my family. But, you know, there's specific training for that you can do, and Nando does it with positive reinforcement and force-free training, which is the only way to train your dogs. Mm. And most of that is because it becomes fun. The dogs are enjoying it. And it's you spending time and bonding with your dog. People don't realize that, you know, even that one little 1 hour training session a week, it's at least time where it's just you
difference.
And your dog.
Massive difference.
Nobody else.
I liken that kind of training to boxing. You're going to be a better boxer if you go to a club that you enjoy going to and you actually enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're thrown into a fight with other people that just constantly beat you, you're not going to be a good boxer. You're just going to be a good person that gets bullied.
Oh.
So you've got to learn the skills. They've got to learn the skills and they've got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
The best people at anything, whatever we do, it's because we're passionate about it.
Okay,
and we invest the time.
That's right, yeah.
That's what it's about.
Say. Yeah.
So it's, if we can get, and you can do that with your dogs, whether you want to do agility or train your dog to be a guard dog, or you want your dog just to fit into your family, you just have to invest that time and use techniques that make them want to do it, because a dog that wants to do something will always do it better than a dog that is made to do it.
You know, amazing. I get a lot of, when I try and encourage the training and stuff, and people are like, yeah, but we've had dogs all our life and we never used to have to do that. Mm-hmm. We also never used to work all hours of the day, live in tiny little secure properties. And even though you didn't realize it, you used to be outside with your dogs more, doing more stuff. It was safe for you to walk around and play and go to the park with your dog. People are not doing that anymore and they're expecting it not to affect the dogs. It affects us. Yeah. I mean, you know, if we just go work and then come back to our little security complex, you become pretty miserable.
I've had dogs all my life thing. That winds me up, something chronic. It really irritates me. You've had a vagina your whole life. It doesn't make you a gynecologist.
Okay, I'm using that one.
That's amazing. Oh, my goodness. But it's so right. And, you know, dogs, when I decided now that I was ready for a dog, I think I took it more seriously than I did when I with some of my boyfriends.
You should do.
And that's why you're good with the dogs.
Exactly.
You need to reward the boys just as much. Stop punishing us.
No, bugger that. And it's like it is the most rewarding thing I've ever had to have this. Well, A, the fact that he is a rescue dog, that's to me, I am a strong advocate of only rescue dogs, because not only are you saving that animal's life, it also makes you feel a little bit like a demigod. I'm just going to put it out there. Because you're like, I did this. You did this for me. My dog saved me, but then I saved him, and we work together so well. And it's such an amazing thing. And I wish that people would start crossing over to go more to rescue dogs and to things like fostering. Because, I mean, you can really, really make a difference by doing
an enormous difference. Fostering is really important.
Huge. And, you know, in South Africa, I don't think people realize the enormity of just how many unwanted animals we as South Africans produce every day.
It's ridiculous.
They have no idea. And if people want to get up on their bloody pedestal about kill shelters and all of that, best you shut your face in front of me, because you need to go and work a week in an SPCA before you have any opinion. On kill or no kill or anything.
Yeah, they've got to understand the local pounds don't have a choice. Exactly. If you arrive with your dog, they have to take that dog. They don't have endless kennels sitting there waiting for them. You know, we're a private facility, and, you know, when we're full, we're full.
Yeah.
It's not fair on the dogs.
No.
But we do have that option, and it's how we can provide the kind of one-on-one care with the dogs
that they need.
But, you know, we've got 142, and that's our limit.
Yeah.
On that talk of care, I've got to give Dogtown a massive shout out, because they are doing a fantastic job.
Brilliant.
They're doing so much more than 95% of the rescues that I work with.
Yeah.
They honestly, they're mentally stimulating the dogs. The dogs are getting out, they're getting exercise, they're getting training with their food. Each dog gets to know its own caregiver. It's just phenomenal. If I was going to rescue a dog over here, I'd be going to Dogtown. I'm not even blowing smoke up your ass. That's genuine.
I've got no more money, Nando. Stop saying
that. Well, I know. Well, as I said, one day when I have my bigger property, I'll definitely be coming to visit. But I'm stuck in such a difficult situation, because I've got Gus, and he's the most amazing dog, and he is the best foster brother. He is. We've done 1, 2, 3, 5 fosters now.
That's awesome.
They've all been either Frenchies or Bostons, and they've all come from pretty bad things, and they've all had varying behavioral issues. And he is just flawless. Like, okay, you're a bit weird about food. I'll just go eat my food over there. Okay,
nice.
You're a bit grumpy about this. He's just
amazing.
But
you and him have probably got a top-notch relationship.
I do. He's like, this dog literally changed my life. He's unbelievable. And he came to me because he was aggressive. Completely aggressive, like, unhandleable sort of thing. And castrated him, and now not a problem. He goes to off-lead dog parks with me, and he's actually the most active French bulldog, which is amazing. He's very well built. He doesn't have self-palate issues, so he comes hiking with me.
Brilliant.
Swimming, hiking, everywhere.
Lovely.
So I'm in a difficult thing, because I I'm a bit of a sucker because I say no. I'd rather not get another permanent dog for Gus because I can help so many more dogs.
Well, that's such a selfless thing to do, though. That
but
is
that's how all pet ownership should be. It shouldn't be about you. It shouldn't be about what I want. I want a cute white fluffy little Maltese or a little toy pom because it'll look cute and it'll match my hair. It shouldn't be about you. It should be about what's best for the animals. But maybe, I don't know, I obviously live on a parallel universe.
We're in the same universe, so it's fine.
But I think we're definitely getting better. The whole world is definitely getting better. They're heading in the right direction. But the problem is it's just too slow. Because, you know, we say that, you know, South Africa's got these problems, but you know, England is not perfect. They've got their own problems. And then Spain has got their own set of issues. If we just pulled together as a human race, as opposed to, you're this and I'm that and da, 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 you know, it would be so much, we would learn so much more.
It's true, eh?
It's getting a bit deep, isn't it?
It took us a while. And
the thing is now with internet, there's a lot of good information. There's also a lot of bad information.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to, I mean, I would never have known about Nando without Facebook. Yeah. And I mean, I started watching Nando's videos with Fitz when he first got her. And I mean, I was like, this guy has got to come and help us. I don't care how, I don't care. He's just got to come because, you know, as much as the reason some TV presenters, it's gone more because of a personality, not because of knowledge. Exactly. And like here we have a personality and the knowledge and the passion.
Yeah.
The passion is incredible when you see him working with our dogs. Oh. That's why everybody has to come and take part in these workshops. One, you help Dogtown rescue more dogs. Two, you're going to get more information than you can handle to help you and your dog. And three, it's a really fun day out.
Thank you.
So let's just run through these dates again. So we've got the 20th of February, which is aggression and rehabilitation. 21st of February, body language. I need to come to that.
That's a critical
brilliant.
One.
I need to come to that one.
It's like, you know, me going to basic Zulu lessons.
Yeah.
I should be doing that.
Yeah.
The body language is top notch.
I think I'm definitely going to come to that one. And then on the 27th of Feb, we've got Grumpy Dogs.
This is my personal favourite, Grumpy Dogs.
Oh.
That is...
It's because he's grumpy.
That is, for me, that's the one that the owners are going to get the most out. If they've got a dog that's grumpy with specific situations, that's the one to come to.
And how does it work? Are people coming with their dogs?
No.
No dogs on these ones, otherwise we'd end up with 50 grumpy dogs standing there shouting.
Can you imagine?
With 50 grumpy owners, because generally, grumpy dog has a grumpy owner. But there are some demos that Nando does, and he uses our Dogtown dogs. I just wanted to make a note of when they email to book, if they're going to use the tracy@dogtownsa.org, that it's Tracy without an E, so it's T-R-A-C-Y, perfect. Or they could email info@dogtownsa.org.
Perfect.
And then you can always donate and help us build our
donate
center.
Donate and help, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Our website's barkingmad.co.za.
Please. And I think you should do challenges as well. Challenge your friends to do it, and then I'll give you a shout-out on the show, and maybe I will be less of a grumpy dog.
Yeah.
But thank you, Tracy and Nando. This has
thank
been one
you
of my favorite
us.
Shows. Nando, you need to come back because we need to do this so much more.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And, I'll be back next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.